Well, what can we say? Thank you, band. You're leading us so beautifully with the singing of the carols. And I just want to thank everybody, all the younger church groups, for what they've been doing. Fantastic. Amen. Amen. And we realise we've got some good singers and good performers in the church, don't we, Trevor? Well, we certainly have. Who's enjoying Christmas so far? Yes. Who's got everything ready for Christmas? Well, not everybody. Who's suddenly getting concerned that Christmas is a week away? Yeah? Who's not sure that they can really face Christmas because of the stress and the strains? The presents, the tree, the food, the decorations, the cards, the relatives that you have to see. You know, great Auntie Gladys on Christmas Day or Boxing Day. Who's getting a little bit stressed and a little bit nervous about it? Anybody? Oh, you're marvellous, you are. You're marvellous. I wish you were all my relatives. When lots of my relatives were alive, we used to say, have we really got to go? And Terry used to say, yes, we have got to go. Yeah? But it'd be wonderful if some of them were alive now and we were able to go again. I'd love it if Mum and Dad were here, or Terry's Mum and Dad. That would be marvellous, wouldn't it? So, let's think for a few moments about Christmas. And I commend you all. Come down and look at these wonderful crib, this wonderful crib scene here with the pieces that we've got there. Marvellous afterwards. And what the younger church did with the crib there. I mean, they've got their baby there, their baby Jesus. Absolutely marvellous. People have worked so hard. But you know, the person who worked the hardest of all was God Almighty. Amen? Amen. I just want to think for a moment. You know all this food we eat. Have you thought for a minute why we do it all? Has anybody thought about that? Yes, there's a few heads nodding, yes. But you say, I don't even like turkey, I'd rather have beef. Hey, here we go, see, some of you are agreeing with me. Why would you rather have turkey? Because it's a bit traditional, you have to have it sometimes, don't you? But beef would probably be nice too. But let me just say for a moment or two about the food we eat. Do you know why we have turkey traditionally on Christmas Day? This is where I hope nobody jumps up and says, yes, I do. Yeah? Well, we traditionally have it because they were brought to Europe in about 1526 from South America. One man brought them. One man brought them. And then Henry VIII decided to introduce them instead of having, guess what, roast peacock? I know it was swan, but it was also a roast peacock, Trevor. I've been and checked the facts. I wasn't there then, but so turkey came in then, and then Edward VII decided to make turkey fashionable at Christmas. Now, I think this is a bit of information that you'll find fascinating. About 1720, turkeys were being farmed in Norfolk, would you believe? Yes, you would. Bootiful, bootiful, yes? So they were being farmed there, and then they were taken to London on foot, which is about 100 miles. And do you know what they did with those turkeys? Some of you might know this. They put old sacks on their feet. They put leather type of boots wound around their feet, but they dipped their feet in tar, first of all, so they could cope with the walk. And they very often started out about September time, and they would be eating the stubble fields on the way. Don't you find that fascinating? And we go to Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Marks and Spencer's and buy a turkey or a chicken or a bit of beef and think nothing of it. But that's how that tradition started. Well, let's look at some other traditions. What about the famous Christmas pudding? Who likes it? Who hates it? Oh, see? It's not half of you, but you're well on the way. You're well on the way. Why do we have Christmas pudding? Well, you do. You either love it or you hate it. But it originates from the early days of Christianity when they used to fast on Christmas Eve in preparation for the Christmas day. And it was more like a porridge. But instead of being a porridge like we know, it was a thick, glutinous, soupy type thing. And they'd put beef and mutton in it as well. And then gradually, they started to put dried fruit in it. And then, believe it or not, by the time we get to Tudor times, they decide to take the dried fruit bits out and have it all meat. But then we went back again to fruit and we lost the meat. Who's glad we lost the meat in Christmas pudding? Yes, I am. And if you kids, I don't know if you're like we used to be, we used to look forward to seeing, were there any little coins in the Christmas pudding? There's another tradition that came about. Sixpence, yes. The sixpenny pieces. But I don't think they do that so much now in case anybody swallows things. But anyway, it changed back into the fruit pudding we love. So now you're thinking, what track is she going on? Well, let's think about the old humble mince pie. Who likes mince pies? I like it all, everything to do with Christmas. So traditionally, they also used to have meat and fruit in them. Did you know that? And then gradually, the meat slipped away, thankfully, and we've got the good old mince pie we love. But it wasn't the shape we know now. It was baked in a long tin meant to represent the crib of Christ. And there were three spices in the fruit. And it was cinnamon, cloves, and nutmeg. And that was said to represent the gifts the wise men brought. We're not talking about the gifts the surfers brought on their film there. They were good, weren't they? Excellent. But we're talking about the gifts the wise men, the magi, brought. And then, well, come on, while we're on this sort of subject, let's think of the Christmas cake. Don't worry about the children. They're all right. They're excited. The Christmas cake. Who loves that? Who likes the marzipan and the icing? Who hates the marzipan and the icing? Terry, your hand should be up. You don't like Well, once again, that contained the three spices, the cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves, representing the gifts the Magi brought to Jesus. This cake was originally, you know, for Twelfth Night, and Queen Victoria didn't agree with it, and so subsequently it was brought forward, because Twelfth Night, as you know, is January the 5th, so it was brought forward to Christmas Day. Isn't it amazing, as we look at a lot of our traditions, they've either come from Christianity that we do at Christmas, or they've come from pagan festivals that we've adopted into the Christian celebration of Christmas, Christ's birthday, when we remember Jesus. So as we check our Christmas list, have we missed anything out? Let's go back again. The tree, help me out everybody. The tree, the decorations, the food, the turkey, lights, presents, stocking for the children. What have we missed?
Jesus.
Yes! Ray, could you show us what we've missed, please? The DVD, please. Thank you, Ray. Now, we as a church are very good at Christmas time. We give water filters, and we've given such a lot over this year. Presents for the homeless. I mean, it's just, the list is endless. And you're such a generous church, and we do thank you. We do thank you. But we need to realize Jesus is central to Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to earth in a miraculous way through the work of the Holy Spirit. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And in the Bible, Word is a capital W, so you can put Jesus' name. So that's what I'm going to do. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus came to earth to seek and save people from our sins. Ordinary people like you, like me. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. John 1:29 tells us, the next day John the Baptist saw Jesus walking towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why did Jesus do this? Because God loves you, 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 every one of you in this auditorium and me. He loves that world out there that's hurting and dying and going the wrong way. Jesus showed you and I the way to live. The Bible tells us, Jesus says it. John 14:6, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. He paid the ultimate price for our sin, for your sin, for my sin. His sacrificial death upon a cross. For everybody, every child in this place, every man in this place, every woman, every teenager. But you know, he took the wrath of God on himself for me and you. That you and I can have relationship with him. It's not religion. People say to me, what religion are you? I look at them and say, it's a relationship with Jesus, actually. I follow Christ. What about you? Jesus, thankfully, when he died on that cross, you know, didn't stay dead. He rose again. He walked this earth for 40 days. Was seen by many until he ascended back to heaven. And you know, he then sent us his Holy Spirit to be our helper and our guide. Do you know his Holy Spirit this Christmas time? This Christmas time, I want to ask each one of us, man, woman, child, teenager, what are you going to do about Christmas this year with Jesus? Let me phrase it another way so you really understand what I'm saying. What are you going to do about Jesus this Christmas? You saw the DVD. Are you going to let him just roll into a corner somewhere? Or are you going to ask him into your heart to share Christmas with you? It's his birthday as you and I prepare. This season's all about him. Let's not leave him out. You know, in his earthly ministry, Jesus said these words out of Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you say, okay, what's my soul? My mind, my will, and my emotions. Who wants a bit of rest at this Christmas time? Yes, quite a few hands going up. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one to give you the rest. Take his yoke upon you, and he will give you rest. We know Satan's at work in the world. How do we know it? Everywhere they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas, aren't they? I've got news for you. Santa ain't going to help you. Do you realize that? I know it's very nice to have the stocking full of presents, but Father Christmas is not going to help you. Xmas, taking Christ out of Christmas, will not help you, but Jesus Christ will. Jesus Christ will. That first Christmas, when Jesus Christ came into the world, who was born into an incredibly busy world. We live in a fast-paced, high-tech world, and I'm catching it up. What about anybody else? Are you catching it up or are you there? Yeah, okay, Brian, we know you're techie. You're there already. But we know the kids, they're into Facebook and Twitter and iPads and PCs and iPhones. I think they're born with a phone on their ear these days. What about you? Do you think they are? But Jesus was born into an incredibly busy world in his time. You heard the reading earlier on. The land was under brutal Roman occupation. Thousands of people had to go up and register for this census. The census had been declared and issued by Caesar Augustus, and everybody had got to register their family, the head of the household, in the town in which they were born. So there was Joseph taking this heavily pregnant Mary, as we've seen by some of those lovely DVDs with the cushion shoved up the dress, right? There they were, going up there. There were people everywhere jostling. There were donkeys, there were carts, there were people walking. And do you realize how far it was they had to go? 100 kilometers. Yep, 100 kilometers. And that was from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And then they'd go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which was another 10 kilometers. And they used to stop at different people's houses on the way. But once they got there, there was nowhere. But you realize this actually fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. About 700 years before Jesus was born in that cattle manger, Isaiah 7:14 says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and call him Emmanuel, God with us. And 720 years before the birth of Christ, Micah 5:2 said, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." This Christmas, if we have this final week, this run up to Christmas, will you make a decision to include Jesus in your celebrations? I so encourage you to. He is the reason for the season, and he does make all the difference. He's a precious Lord and Savior, and he wants to be part of your life and mine every single day. Maybe you've never done this before. Doesn't matter. God loves you. God died for you. God wants you to respond because he loves you. Don't miss out on the meaning of Christmas this year. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us as we celebrate his birthday. I'm going to read a scripture for you that's very overlooked that I think will probably help us understand a bit more. Out of the book of Titus, a lot of people never even know where that is, but Titus 3:4-7 tells us, "But," that little word but, beware, there's an underlying truth coming. "When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." Isn't that what we all want? Come on, there's a few of you. We all want eternal life with the Lord. I know we do, because that's where the good things of God will be. It's not just the presents, as lovely as they are. It's not just the food. It's not just the traditions. It's not just the beautiful carols we sing. It's not just the wonderful family we can gather with, even though some of them might get on our chimes. It's just Jesus. He is the reason for the season. Now, we've got some books today, and I want the youngsters to come out in a few moments to help me, because I need some help on this. This book here, Knowing God, Life's a Big and Sometimes Scary Adventure. Like all adventures, it's good to have someone with you. And I want to tell you how you can know God as your friend. Young people, children, do you want to know God as your friend if you don't already? I want you to come and get this book. If you're not big enough to read, Mummy and Daddy can read it to you, but it's lovely pictures, it's illustrated. And we're giving you these books free today. And furthermore, children, I want you to come out, and young people, surfers, I'd love you to come too. Because we've got books for the adults, Making the Christmas Connection. What's the point of Christmas? I want every person in this auditorium to take a book away with them. And that includes all of you in the sound desk, all of you out there, perhaps getting refreshments organized. Because even if you're a Christian, I want you to give one of these books to somebody who isn't a Christian this Christmas. Maybe somebody you're visiting. Maybe somebody who's visiting you. Because they're so simple, they're so lovely, they're so easy to read. What's the point of Christmas? Making the Christmas Connection. How are our people doing with the books coming out? Are we getting there? Before we sing our final carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, where are my little helpers gone? Here they come, here they come. Where are the young children? I'd like the young children to come out for these books. Come on, Harriet, you start the ball rolling. They'll give you one of these. And I want every adult to have a What's the Point of Christmas or a Making the Christmas Connection. Please. Don't be shy, anyone. Don't say, oh, I don't want one of those. We want you to have one. They're free. Come on, when they give freebies out in supermarkets, you all want a freebie, so have a freebie. And these children's books are beautiful, beautiful books. So just before I hand back to the band for our last carol, as the children are giving these out, I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray the words you've given me this afternoon will touch all our hearts this Christmas, that we put you central and allow you to be God in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.